Glory to Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word of Christ. Thank God for the truth of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. So we've been studying salvation, remission of sins in Christ Jesus. Welcome to another episode on the Everyday with Jesus broadcast, where our lives have been enriched by the truth of the word of God. Glory to Jesus. So once again, let's take a look at metaphors for salvation. Reconciliation, part 5. Metaphors for salvation, reconciliation, part 5. Yesterday we saw, again, emphatically, how the implication of the reconciliation which we have in Jesus, which we have in Christ, is that we have peace and harmony with God. We have peace and harmony with God. Hallelujah. In the which God's disposition towards us perpetually is that of peace. That of peace. And we saw how that the gospel is called the gospel of peace. In fact, at Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Bible says, therefore, having been justified by his grace, we have peace with God. Hallelujah. We have peace with God. Ephesians 2, verse 17. Bible says, he came and preached peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. So the gospel is the gospel of peace, an announcement of God's peace towards humanity. Glory to Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 15, Bible calls the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings, who proclaim the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6, 15, the gospel of peace. The gospel is called the gospel of peace because in that gospel, men receive reconciliation with the Father. Reconciliation with the Father. We are reconciled back to the Father in the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. In fact, at Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. We were called unto the peace of God. Hallelujah. We were called unto the peace of God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So, we have peace with the Lord. We have peace in Christ. And that peace is harmony. That peace speaks of being in a state where there's no strife, there's no discord, there's no conflict. We're in harmony, perfect harmony with the Father. Let's once again look at Isaiah 54. See the prophecy of Isaiah again. Isaiah 54. Glory to Jesus. Isaiah chapter 54. Very powerful prophecy. Some have said it's not referring to the new covenant and on, but then there's no way you can prove that from the scriptures. This is so clear from the scriptures. The covenant of peace is the covenant of Christ, is the new covenant. Isaiah 54 from verse 7. Bible says, for a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. Hallelujah. Have you seen this? Have you seen this? My everlasting kindness. In what other covenant do we have everlasting kindness? Only in the covenant of Christ. Hallelujah. Only in the New Testament is the promise of everlasting kindness fulfilled. The same with the promise, of God not forsaking us. Same with the promise of God not getting angry and rebuking us. Same with the promise of his peace not being removed and his kindness not departing from us. It's only in Christ these blessings are guaranteed. Glory be to God. It's only in Christ we have an assurance of this reality. So the covenant of peace is the covenant we have in Christ Jesus, the new covenant which God has called us into. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the implication of the reconciliation we have received is that God is at peace with us. God is at peace with us. We saw yesterday how that the Corinthian church was a church that was referred to as a carnal church. A church walking in the flesh, walking in strife, walking in envy. Glory to Jesus. A church of many issues. Yet Paul says, let's see it again. Hallelujah. Paul says, I thank God for the grace of Christ that was given to you. I thank God for his grace that is given to you. Glory be to God. Paul says, grace and peace to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll read from verse 3. Bible says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. Have you seen? It's in the past tense. You were enriched. Now, their carnality, which was at the present, then could not alter, could not change, could not reduce or diminish the grace, the impact of the grace of God in their lives. They were already enriched by the grace of God in all utterance and knowledge. Hallelujah. And their attitudes were not about to change this position or this status or this privilege. Glory be to God. That's the constancy of the grace of God, the constancy of the peace of God in Christ Jesus. So grace and peace be to you in Christ Jesus. At all times, the implication of the grace, the implication of the reconciliation we have received is that God is always at peace with us, and we also are always at peace with God. Hallelujah. Our attitudes can change, can differ from time to time, and we have, you know, every right, we have every ability also to change and align our attitudes with the Word of God. God has given us the ability, the capacity, the right, the privilege to always align our conduct with the truth of the Word of God. So we can always change. We can always catch up with the Word of God. We can always renew our minds to walk in the light of the Word. But you know what? The disposition of God towards us is always the same. In the seasons when we are repenting, in the seasons where we are missing it, in the times when we are falling, in the times when we are standing on our feet, every time, at all times, in all places, God's grace and peace is constant as a disposition towards us in Christ Jesus. We are under grace. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. The Bible says, and sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. So we are under the grace of God. Hallelujah. You know, the grace of God is a covenant. The grace of God is not some pity, sympathy, or compassion somewhere out of the blues. The grace of God is a force. It's a covenant over our lives. Covenant in Christ Jesus that we've been saved into. So Bible says you are under grace. The same way men were once under the law, we are now under the grace of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I've maintained and insisted that the word reconciliation as used in the New Testament for salvation is a metaphor. You know why? The word reconciliation, for instance, or the word reconciled as used at Romans chapter 5, look at your Bibles now. By the way, if you follow this broadcast without paying attention to your Bible, make sure you are not distracted. Make sure your mind is not wandering, going to places. Make sure you are really following. That's how to be blessed tremendously by these teachings. Glory to God. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you that you have a Bible, a copy of a Bible with you. You could use your hardcover Bible or your smartphone Bible, wherever you are, maybe in the bus, you know, because I'm sure you might be listening to this on your way to work, and you may not have the opportunity or the privilege to bring out the hardcover Bible. Some of you may be listening to this at your workplace, you know, and then at your workplace, people do not expect that you are reading a hard copy of the Bible at your workplace. So it's permissible. You can use your smartphone to listen, but make sure you follow every scripture, every reference you read along. That's how to be tremendously blessed and to learn from these things. Glory to Jesus. So at Romans chapter 5, verse 8 to 10, look at this quickly again. Bible says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Having been reconciled. That word reconciled in the Greek is the word katalasso. In the Greek, katalasso. K-A-T-A-L-L-A-S-O. K-A-T-A-L-L-A-S-O. Katalasso. What does it mean? It means to change. To change. Hallelujah. It means to change something, to change someone. Of course, it also means to reconcile. So you see that in the reconciliation, there's a change. However, I've insisted that this word reconciliation is a metaphor used in salvation because in the context of human relationship, there is no change effected in the parties. Hallelujah. There's no change effected. Their natures are not altered or changed. It's the same person just coming, you know, they are coming together, setting aside their differences where actions are concerned, letting go their offenses, you know, endeavoring to make peace and unite and harmonize again by pardoning their offenses, letting go their offenses, and trusting that they can get along again. And then that's reconciliation in the flesh. Now that's why this is the word used for reconciling with your spouse, somebody you've left, maybe, you know, there's a case of a divorce or separation in marriage. This is the same word used in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11, to reconcile. And you see, in that reconciliation, there's no change in the persons. No change. In fact, a man may be, let's see that portion of scripture and I'll see what I'm about to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11, Bible says, but even if, okay, let me read from verse 10. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And the husband is not to divorce his wife. Have you seen? Remain unmarried or be reconciled to your husband. Now, there's no change effected in them by the reconciliation. It's just coming together to forgive, settle their offenses, put, you know, differences aside and come back together again. Now, a husband or a wife that goes away because of a particular conduct of the husband or the wife can return back to the man and then they will say they've reconciled. But you know what? Maybe the woman left because the husband is such a cheat and then she returns. Nothing has changed. Hallelujah. Nothing has changed. In fact, in most cases, that is the situation. The reconciliation does not necessarily mean that, the man has now changed, he's turned the new leaf, he's now a different person entirely. No, it's still the same cheat that she left or that he left, and then they are coming back together to believe that he won't do it again. Glory be to Jesus. So, the man is still the same or the woman is still the same, and they are just merely putting aside their differences to try to get along again. So, in that kind of reconciliation, they are trying to get along. Amen. You know, you are just trying to get along. You are just trying to trust that the person will turn a new leaf. The person is a different person after all. And all the person is not changed, is not transformed. They are just hoping that this time around, the person will miss it again. Glory be to Jesus. So that's the same word used to define the reconciliation we have in Christ Jesus, the salvation we have received. But you see that there's a change, there's a notable and a remarkable difference in this reconciliation. Hallelujah. In the reconciliation we have in Christ, there's a change. Something happens to us. A change is effected in us. Now listen, that change effected is not in God. It wasn't God that changed in the reconciliation. It was man that was changed. It was man that was transformed. We were the ones that were transformed, you know, taken from the state of enmity, from being enemies of God, we are brought into friendship. So we are the ones that were changed from sin to righteousness. Hallelujah. From enemies to friends. God had never at any point in time been an enemy to humanity. He had always been for us. Hallelujah. Always. John 3:16, popular scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. God so loved the world. Look at the world that God so loved. The world steeped in sin. The world that was lost. The world that was an enemy of God. But Bible says God so loved the world. Hallelujah. The people. God's love is what made the provision of salvation available to all men. That's why Bible says God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died while we were sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Glory be to Jesus. So in the reconciliation, we were the ones that were changed. We were the ones that were brought into a state of friendship and harmony with the Father. Glory be to God. So you see that in this reconciliation, a change is effected in us. It's not like it is done in the world. It is not the same kind of reconciliation. The effect is different. We are transformed by that reconciliation. That's why you notice, listen, you notice that everywhere, and then we're going to explain some scriptures very soon in this episode. We're going to explain James 4, 1 to 5, John 15, 13 to 15 in this teaching. So you discover that this word reconciled, when it's used in the context of our salvation, not in the context of human relationship, it is always linked with the gift of righteousness. Because that's the change, a transformation. Something happens to the man. In the reconciliation, there's a transformation, there's a change. Glory to Jesus. There's a change. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 5. See how in the book of Romans chapter 5, after Paul used the word reconciled, he now shows us, he now begins to discuss the gift of righteousness, the change that comes to them that believe, to those who are in Christ Jesus. Look at from verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Hallelujah. Have you seen? There's a change. There's something that came to us in Christ. Justification. In our reconciliation back to the Father, we're not reconciled in the same state we were picked from, in the same state we were in when God found us. We're reconciled into a different state. Hallelujah. We're reconciled into a different state and form and nature. Glory be to God. Verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Those who receive the abundance, the gift of righteousness, the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. So we see sin and death as an identity of every man outside Christ. Sin and death as an identity of every man in Adam. Sin and death as an identity of those who are in Adam. Condemnation. So in the reconciliation, there's a change of identity, there's a change of position and status, there's a change. Men are brought into righteousness and into life. Men are brought into justification of life. Glory be to God. Look at verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through the righteous, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Have you seen? There's a change. You see that the reconciliation is tied to the nature of righteousness which we receive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So God did not just reconcile us back to himself in spite of our sins, so we are still sinful. Then God is just merely trying to tolerate us and then he just reconciled us. Let's just get along. No, he transformed us. He brought us into a state that is acceptable and that is right in his sight. Glory be to God. We are made the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So you see, in Romans chapter 5, reconciliation is linked and tied to righteousness and life. Righteousness and life. Hallelujah. And then if you see 2 Corinthians 5 again, where this word katalasso is also used for reconciliation, you see how it is also strictly connected with righteousness and life. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at this quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Glory to God. I'll read from verse 17. Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. That's the word katalasso. All things are of God who has reconciled us to himself, who has brought us to himself, who has effected a change in us unto himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Have you seen that in that reconciliation, there's a newness. There's a newness. There's a change. There are things that came from God to us in that reconciliation. So imagine that God is reconciling with us and is giving us things. He's giving unto us things. He's imparting to us things. Hallelujah. You know, a man, that's different from people coming together to say they want to sort their differences and move on. God is coming to us and he's offering us gifts in that reconciliation. We are transformed by those gifts. Hallelujah. We are transformed, and generally it's just one gift. We are transformed by the gift of life, righteousness in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. So look at verse 19. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That word reconciling is the same word katalasso, reconciling the world to himself. Not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's the same word katalasso. Now see verse 21. Bible says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So in that reconciliation, we are made the righteousness of God. You know, in all these metaphors so far, we've seen justification, we've seen reconciliation, and then we began a study by seeing remission of sins. We've seen that all these things are connected together. And that's exactly the aim of this study, to show you the unity, the harmony of these concepts. They are one and the same. Hallelujah. Where there's reconciliation, there's justification. Where there's justification, there's reconciliation. Where there's reconciliation, there's remission of sins. Where there's remission of sins, there's salvation. It's the same. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. So in the reconciliation, there is righteousness imparted and imputed to them that believe. Glory be to Jesus. There's a change of status. There's a change. There's a new life. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. New creations in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in the reconciliation, there's a newness. We are transformed from sin to righteousness, from enmity to friendship. Glory be to God. What then was James saying? Let's consider this as I begin to close. James chapter 4. Is it possible for a believer to be an enemy of God? James 4. Is it possible for a believer to ever become an enemy of God now that we are, you know, reconciled to God and we have been delivered from enmity to friendship with God? Is it possible for a believer to be called an enemy of God? You know, the man James seems to have some very difficult positions. Hallelujah. Seemingly difficult positions that he maintains in his epistle. Now look at, this is one of them. James chapter 4. From verse 1 to 5. The Bible says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that were in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Hallelujah. He makes himself an enemy of God. So can you see? You can be an enemy of God. You can also become an enemy of God. Now that you're a Christian, you can be an enemy. And do you know what to expect? You know what enemies you expect from God? You know, don't miss the point. Don't miss the point. Hallelujah. Don't miss the point. Verse 5. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? So positionally, the spirit of God is at work in us. The spirit of God dwells within us. Hallelujah. The spirit of God dwells within us. Amen. So there's a nature within that shows we are one with God. It is not so much of us grieving God. You know, it's not just about us grieving God and then, you know, displeasing God. Even the nature we bear and carry now is not at peace with worldliness, is not in love with worldliness, is not favorably disposed towards worldliness. Hallelujah. The believer that walks in worldliness is walking contrary to his own nature, the nature he has received in Christ. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lust against the spirit, verse 17, and the spirit against the flesh, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So you see that there's an internal conflict or struggle. Hallelujah. The spirit within lusting against the flesh on the outside. Glory be to God. Now back to James 4. James 4. So he says in verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, speaking about friendship with the world. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. He's talking about attitude, conduct. It doesn't say God is your enemy. Hallelujah. That is, if you walk in friendship with the world, you know that the world is in enmity towards God. So a believer that walks in friendship with the world is going to be influenced to conduct himself in enmity towards God. Though he's not an enemy of God, his actions and conduct will be influenced to walk against and to militate against the things of God. Glory be to Jesus. Haven't you found Christians who castigate the church? Who say the church is just a scam. The church is this and that. You know, Christians who fight against the things of the spirit. Christians who speak ill of spiritual things, of sacred things. Such Christians have been influenced by the world. Hallelujah. You find a Christian who discovers that a pastor has been caught in a wrongdoing, or a leader, let's say a leader in the church has fallen into an error, or a fellow believer, not necessarily a pastor, and then joins the world in exposing the man, joins the world in talking against the person publicly. You know, he doesn't understand Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if any man is overtaking a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. You see that there's an attitude prescribed. Restore the man in the spirit of gentleness. So there's meant to be restoration. We are not meant to, you know, become judgmental, be talking down on the person, be casting, you know, be casting the person down. The person is already down. Hallelujah. We are not meant to now descend heavily on the person and, you know, want to destroy the person just like the world intends to. Glory to Jesus. You discover that Jesus' harshest and, you know, gravest rebukes were for the Pharisees, the self-righteous, not for men that were struggling with sinful conduct and were weak. And, you know, they admitted this reality. You find the same approach in the ministry of the apostles. So, but you find believers who don't know the difference. They don't know the difference. In fact, some believers who are very lenient towards false teaching are very hard against moral flaws. Such men have been influenced by the world. Because what the world does is castigate people for moral flaws. Though the world itself is guilty, the world will always judge people for their moral flaws in such a very alarming way. In such a very, you know, merciless way that you wonder if these guys are really righteous themselves. We find the same example. We find that example in the event of John 8 when they brought the woman to Jesus caught in adultery. And then you discover that all of them were guilty. But they were all acting as though the woman was the only person committing sin. Until Jesus said to them, "He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." They all walked away from the greatest of them to the least. The leaders, the followers, all of them, they walked away because they were all guilty of sin. Hallelujah. So a believer who does not know the difference, a believer who is influenced by the world, because that's the spirit of the world, would act the same way. Glory to Jesus. Haven't you found believers who disdain the gathering of the saints, who talk down on the gathering of the saints, who say it is not necessary for us to gather, to converge, to assemble ourselves, to be taught God's word, and to walk in the things of the spirit, and to be, you know, to be stirred up in the gathering of the saints, believers who say, see, you can worship God anywhere, you can be in your house, you can, you see, you are saying something that is true, but what you are stating is partial truth. While we can worship God in our individual closets, and in our houses, in our privacy, Bible instructs us to gather. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10, 24, 25, Bible says, let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So this is instruction in scriptures for believers to gather while God is spirit and can be worshipped anywhere. Jesus says, neither at this mountain nor in Jerusalem will men worship God. God is spirit. Hallelujah. So we can worship God anywhere at all times because God is spirit. The location of worship is in the spirit. Yet, the gathering of the saints is an instruction in scriptures, the assembling of ourselves together. Because in our assembling, the gathering, we are not so much leaving our houses to come and meet with God. God is with us always and at all times in all places. We are coming to meet with one another to stir up ourselves unto good works. So this truth is not to be negated or to be set aside because of one reality of the reality of the fact that we can worship God anywhere. Hallelujah. The reason why we come together is not just to worship God. We come together to stir up ourselves, to exhort ourselves, to provoke ourselves unto good works. So, but you find believers who disdain the gathering of the saints today. Why? Because they've been influenced by the world. Some way, somehow, they've been influenced by the world system. Glory be to God. So in such a situation, that believer is setting himself up as an enemy of God in his conduct, in his ways. His words can distract and mislead people. It can distort the word of God and mislead people. And you know, that's not working for God. That's working against the plan and the purposes of God on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Aren't there believers who preach against the truth of redemption in their ignorance and zeal? That's working against God's plan and purpose. So that's you working as an enemy of God. Glory be to God. You know, Paul will say, I tell you, let's see this, Philippians chapter 3, speaking about those who pervert the gospel, Paul calls them enemies of the cross. It will amaze you or shock you to know that sometimes such men are even believers. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3. Glory to God. Philippians chapter 3. I'll read from verse 18. Bible says, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So a believer who is a victim of false teaching and is propagating the same without verifying what he's saying is walking as an enemy of the cross. So he's walking against the plan of God, walking against, that does not make him an enemy of God positionally. He's a child of God, he's been reconciled to the Father, but in his deeds, in his actions, in his words, he's walking as an enemy of God just as the world. He's been influenced by the spirit of the world or the spirit of the Antichrist, which is one and the same. Glory be to Jesus. Look at John chapter 14, verse 13 to 15. John 14, 13 to 15. So we are friends of God. We have been reconciled to God. Enmity has been broken. Positionally, in our walk, we can walk as enemies of Christ. We can walk as enemies of the cross. We can walk against the plan of God on the face of the earth. And this, you know, this calls for caution. Look at John chapter 15, verse 13 to 15. John 15, 13 to 15, Bible says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Hallelujah. Have you seen? Now look at verse 16. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my father, I have made known to you. So have you seen? What did you notice? You are my friends if you obey, if you do the things I command you. But I have called you friends. Hallelujah. So that means Jesus has called you friends. Jesus has called them friends. But they were to begin to live and act as friends only when they began to live in obedience to the things that he said. To the things he instructed and commanded them. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, Jesus already considers them to be friends. He has chosen them to be friends. That is, he is in friendship with them. He has chosen to be their friend. That's why it says, greater love has no man than this, than for a man to lay down his life for his friend. But it's your conduct, it's your own disposition towards him that will show whether you are walking as a friend towards him. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. But he is already a friend. Hallelujah. He's already a friend you can count on, you can depend on him. Glory be to God. And that was the reason why when Peter denied him, you see, in the Gospels, when Peter denied him, he went after him. Hallelujah. When all the disciples forsook him, he went after them because, you see, he is a friend that sticks close. Hallelujah. He's a friend that will never give up. So Jesus already had a disposition of friendship towards them in spite of the fact that they were not keeping all his commandments, they were not obeying everything he was saying. But he is saying to them that if you also start keeping my commandments, then you would be walking as friends. So you see that our conduct, our action has its place, but it is not the basis for reconciliation. It is not the reason why Jesus is extending friendship to us. It's not the reason why God is extending reconciliation towards us. We are reconciled on the basis of his grace, of faith in what Jesus has done. But then you see, our actions can show whether we are walking in that friendship towards God, or we are walking in, you know, enmity towards the plan and the purposes of God on the face of the earth. Whether we would allow the world influence us in the way we think and act. If we allow the world influence us in the way we think and act, then we'll be acting out the conduct of the world. And the conduct of the world is that of being an enemy, an opposition, adversary to the ways and the plans and the purposes of God on the face of the earth. So if we allow the influence of the world in our minds, we're going to walk like the world towards the things of God. But if we allow the influence of the word of God, then we begin to act out our true nature. So Bible says, the spirit at work in us yearns jealously. So there's a spirit within us that is able to cause us to walk in accordance to the nature we have received in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So there are no contradictions. We are friends of God by position. We can choose to walk in that position or walk according to the world, according to the influence that is in the world. And then that will be us walking as enemies of God. Though we are not enemies of God, we'll be walking as enemies of God. Glory be to God. Glory be to Jesus. You know, do good to tune in tomorrow. We'll be wrapping up the teaching on reconciliation. Do good to tune in and let's come together again to have a great time in the Word of God. Invite your friends, your family members, your colleagues, your classmates, and let's just come together, put on your WhatsApp status, your Facebook wall, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. Do have a great day being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs, you know, a day unto the Lord. Be a blessing to somebody and see you in the next episode.